If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Genesis chapter 6. Amen. The Gospel's in Genesis chapter 6. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 this morning. We're going to begin reading it at verse number 12 down through the beginning of verse number 14. Genesis chapter 6. Beginning at verse number 12, where the Bible says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, I pray your word would speak to our hearts. Lord, to each one that's here this morning, Lord, speak to our hearts and teach us, challenge us, encourage us, help us today, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, in verse number 14, and we know this is the story in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8, it's all about Noah building an ark. And we know that, and we sing songs, the kids sing songs, and we hear the Bible stories. It's Noah built an ark. And right there in verse number 14, it says, "Make thee an ark." You know, the Bible says much about building. Not just in Genesis chapter 6, but all throughout the Bible, there's a lot of scripture, a lot of accounts, a lot of teaching about building. And that's because building is a part of life. Whether we think about it or we don't, we're all building. Sometimes we're working on projects and we know we're physically building something. But you know, you just look around and you're always building. You know, you moms and wives, you go into your laundry room. You see a big mountain of laundry there. Well, who built that mountain? Amen? You walk into the kids' rooms and they're building with Legos. You walk into the garage and the husband's trying to build something. I was trying to build something yesterday and it was a literature display rack and on the bottom it had a big swivel thing so it could turn all multiple ways, and I was just going to put some casters on the bottom so that it would roll real smooth, and up in Willimantic it'd be really good. And so I said, I'm going to really take time and really carefully build this and measure and make and countersink the screws and everything. And I'm working real hard on it. Got the casters all on and everything. Started to spin it, make sure it moved. And the whole big Lazy Susan thing on the bottom, all the little pellets all fell out. That's just the way it is with me. So you know what I did? I took a crowbar and I yanked that whole bottom off. I said, well, I'll put the casters up higher. So anyways, it works. But you know, life is just made up of building. But you know, it takes a lot to build. It first takes a thought or a vision. And then it takes tools and it takes skills and sometimes it takes training. And then it takes work and persistence and then you're done with the project and you have something to look at. And this morning as we look at Genesis chapter 6, you know, the story here, the main story, and the one we most often think about is that Noah built an ark. But this morning I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you, because that wasn't the only thing that Noah built in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. That wasn't the only thing. You see, we can be focused on building one thing and not realize that in the process we're building other things. And I want to give you three things that Noah built. Three things that we should be building. Three things that Noah built in Genesis 6, 7, and 8 this morning. We're not going to take time to read all the scripture, but we focus so much on Noah building an ark that we lose sight of the fact that there were some other things that Noah was building in these chapters. And there are things that we build, and there are things that we ought to be building, and there are things that we can build for the glory of God as Christians. And so let's look this morning at three things. The first one, I worked hard on being homiletical as I went through this. And yesterday morning, I was trying to get some homiletical, you know, so all the points match up. Because nowadays people take notes, but now they take fancy notes, you know. And so I was trying to get my points, and I said to Allison, I said, I need another word. And we thought, and she thought, and I thought, and we couldn't come up with a word. And finally I went upstairs and I came up with my first point. It's going to surprise you. Noah built an apartment. You're saying, what? Exactly. Noah built an apartment. Now, I don't really mean an apartment, but I had to get in a letter A to fit. Because you know what? A lot of times people are building an apartment when they should be building something else. Noah built a family. Before Noah built an ark, Noah was building a family. Look down at verse number 18. See, sometimes we lose sight of this. There's a lot of people that they're not really building a home. They're not really building a family. They're simply building an apartment building where people live. Hey, that's not what God wants for Christians. That's not what God wants for the Christian home. That's not what God wants for us as parents. He wants us to build something more than an apartment. He wants us to build a family, a Christian family, a godly home. Look at verse number 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Whole family. Now listen, I know some of you are thinking right now, you're thinking, okay, I can sleep for the next 15 minutes. He's going to go on about the family. Doesn't apply to me. It applies to every one of us. Every one of us. And I know young people, the kids will say, wait a minute here. I'm too young. You know, before you start building, you got to start learning about what you're going to build. Amen? You got to start learning about the tools. You got to start learning. Hey, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Jesus Christ is a boy. He learned about building. He learned from his dad about carpentry. I remember learning from my dad about carpentry. Boy, it was a tough lesson to learn. He had a basement and he had a workshop and he had all his tools and everything. And then he had this bucket. And it was a metal bucket, and it had used nails, bent nails. And he says, if you want to go down and work on wood, there's your nails. You learn how to straighten. I learned really good. I can't build, but boy, I tell you what, I can take a crooked nail and I can put it on the side of the bench. I can hammer that thing. I can make straight nails for you. Don't know what to do with them beyond that, because I spent most of my time just straightening out nails. And so as a young person, it's good to learn about what it means to build a home, what it means to build a family. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm not even married yet. Well, listen, it's a good time to get ready, amen? Get ready to build a home. Now listen, if you're just newly married, you just got some kids, you say, I don't have a clue. Well, that's where you go to the Bible. And listen, don't worry about it. Because not a one of us is perfect. I remember one time, Alice and I sat on the steps of going up to the second floor of our house about 2 o'clock in the morning. We just sat there and looked at it and said, what are we doing? You ever been there? Right? You look at your spouse and you go, what are we doing? Listen, no one when they get married knows really what they're doing. But does not the Lord lead us along and give us the guidance, right? Amen. And if you've been married for a while and you're raising kids, listen, keep going. Persevere, right? Don't give up. Battle's not over. Building's not done yet. You say, well, wait a minute, our kids are all gone. Oh, no, they're not. Your kids are never gone, right? Don't give up. You keep building. My mom prayed for 30 years for us kids. Before she died, she says, I am so thankful that after 30 years of praying, you're all turning back to the Lord. So don't give up. Keep building. You might say, well, now listen, I know I'm touching on nerves here, But Mrs. Hunt, keep building. All right? Because you know what? Everybody that's up in years, the younger generations need to see your faithfulness. And they need to see your testimony that you haven't quit and you're going to keep going until the day the Lord takes you home. Noah built a family, folks. He built a family, and that family was able to go into the ark with him. The rest of the world was corrupt. The rest of the world, God says, I'm going to destroy. But Noah, you build an ark, and you bring into that ark your whole apartment. Your family. And he brought in his wife. He brought in his sons. He brought in his sons' wives with them because Noah built a family. Now, let me give you how you can build a family in one short lesson this morning. You see, a lot of people, they want a whole book. Well, by the way, you do have a book. It's called the Bible. Right? But let me give you two truths that God gives that will simplify everything you need to know about building a family. Everything you need to know about building a family is in one verse in the Bible. One verse sums it up. One verse says it all. You carry out this one verse in your life. Let God take care of it. You're saying, Lord, where is that verse? Pastor, where's that verse? Well, maybe I'll just keep you hanging on the line for a little bit. Psalm 128 and verse number 1. Psalm 128 and verse number 1. Two principles, biblical principles, truths that God gives. And he says, when you do this, you'll be happy. When you do this, it will be well with you. Hey, that's good, isn't it? The Lord says, God says, if you're going to build a family, if you're going to build a Christian family, here's two things, two truths. If you do these two things, you will be happy and it will be well. Praise God. Psalm 120. Well, wait a minute. Back up to Psalm 127 just for a minute. Look at verse number 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain which build it. So if you're going to try and build a family, a Christian family, and do it without the Lord, hey, listen, it's useless. It's futile. It's not going to work. You're going to fail. You're going to be discouraged. It's going to be a mess. But look at Psalm 128 in verse number 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Right there, God simplifies it for you and me. He simplifies it for every one of us. And that's why as a young person, you need to get this down. That's why as a single person, you need to get this down. That's why as a young married couple, you need to get this down. That's why as an older couple that's got grandkids, you need to keep at this. That's why we all need to keep at this. And it's two things. And number one, it gives us a priority. It gives us a priority. And it's not about a house. It's not about a career. It's not about finances. It's not about all the things that you can provide. One thing, here's a priority. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. There's a priority. If you are trying to build a Christian home, and God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the fear of God and the love of God, if that's not your priority, you're on a course of failure. So if you want to build a home for Christ, if you want to raise your family for Christ, if you want to see your kids grow up and love the Lord, it's going to start by you fearing the Lord. In other words, the Lord's got to be your priority. I'm thankful I saw that in my parents. So thankful I saw that in my parents. I can look back. I can't remember much about playing games with my parents. I remember we had a badminton set in the backyard. That's about it. But I do know this. I do know this. And when I think back of my mom and dad, I know one thing. They feared the Lord. And everything in their life was about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in their life was about the Lord. It was their priority. My mom would stand out in the backyard as kids would go down to school. She would purposely stand out there in the yard as the kids walked to school, the kids from the town, and she would tell them about the Lord. Every day, she'd be out there unless she went to work. And she'd be out there as a young person. I got embarrassed sometimes. Because my mom was known for the lady that loved kids and loved to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God was a priority in their life. Everything was a priority. It was all about the Lord. I could stand here for hours and tell you about everything in their life came to this one thing. Their God and their Savior and their local church was their priority. By the way, their local church was their priority. That needs to be our priority, folks. Our priority needs to be the Lord. Because when you have that priority, it gives you a purpose. And here's the purpose or the plan. Look at verse number one. Blessed as they are when they fear the Lord. Now here's a second step. Here's a second thing. And it's simple. That walketh in his ways. There's a plan. You want a plan for raising your family? There it is. You want a plan for raising a Christian home? There it is. What did Noah do? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because Noah feared God. Because Noah obeyed God. Here's the priority. The priority is the Lord. The Lord has got to be the priority in your life. He's got to be more important than anything. And your kids need to see that. They need to see your priority is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's what's going to matter. It's not going to matter what else you can do in life. That's going to matter. And that priority leads to something else. Walking in His ways. Well, read Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a man young cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Over and over again, the Bible tells us, listen, how are you walking? How are you walking as a parent? How are you walking as a dad? How are you walking as a mom this morning? Whose ways are you really walking in? Because that's what children see. That's what they see all the time. And they can hear it up here in the pulpit. I tell you what, I pray your kids aren't confused. I pray your children aren't confused by your life. Oh, God help us. God help us, parents. That your kids don't come home hearing something from this pulpit and then saying, but wait a minute, I don't see it. They need to see in your life that you're walking in the ways of God, that you're walking in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're living according to His word, not your ways. Every man thinks his ways are right. Every man's ways are right in his own eyes. But His way, God's way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Grandparents, listen, elderly people, man, listen, keep walking. Keep walking. Because you know what? Your kids are still looking. Your grandkids are still looking. They're still watching. There's some kids and there's some grandparents, they're waiting for the day that they see mom and dad or grammy and grampy or however you call it grandparents these days. They're waiting to see you quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because you know what? God hasn't quit on you. Hey, being confident of this very thing, He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so number one, he didn't build an apartment. That's just for your notes. He built a family. All right? He built a family. Hey, let's build some families for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray for one another. Let's pray that Lakes Palm Baptist Church is made up of parents, young people, grandparents, a whole church whose priority is the Lord.
whose purpose to live by the Word of God. Let's pray that God raises up some Christian families in Lakes Palm Baptist Church that go on to serve the Lord. Oh, it's exciting. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, please, Lord. Oh, let these words not go flying by our ears this morning. But Lord, even this morning, we pray for our families. Lord, pray for our parents. Lord, help them to fear you, to walk in your ways. Help our children, our grandchildren, to see parents and grandparents and older people that are loving the Lord and living for the Lord. Lord, raise up families in Lakes Palm Baptist Church. We'll bring honor and glory to your name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, he built a family. He built an apartment. Got to keep it homiletical. He built an apartment, right? Second of all, he built an ark. Oh, now we're getting to it. He built an ark. You know what the ark is all about? Listen, you can read all the details about the ark. You can read about the wood. You can read about everything. It points to one thing. It points to the gospel and the salvation that is only through faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't get that story out of the ark, if you don't get that truth out of the ark, if you're focusing on anything else but that when it comes to the ark, you're missing God's message. God says the earth is corrupt. I'm going to destroy all the wickedness and the sinners. He said, but Noah, you build an ark. You build an ark, and when that ark is built, you bring your family into it, and the Lord shut the door, and their life was preserved. Their life was saved. But you know, there's something we miss here. We lose sight of it. When we read about Noah building the ark, sometimes we read about the ark, and we read all the details, and we miss something else. Because the first thing about the gospel is this: the long-suffering of God. You see, as Noah built the ark in Genesis chapter 6, it says, make thee an ark. Verse number 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So he built an ark. But go back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. I want you to stop and consider something for a moment this morning. The Lord said, I'm not always going to strive with man. He said, but I'm going to give them 120 years. That's the long-suffering of God. Listen, hey, we talk about patience, we talk about long-suffering. Listen, you and I will never know what it really means to be patient and long-suffering compared to God. God says the whole world is corrupt. The thoughts of their hearts are only evil continually. The imagination of their heart, evil continually. Wickedness and violence and corruption. God could have in that first day said, you know what, that's it. But 120 years, God was long-suffering. God was long-suffering for 100. Hey, listen, God's long-suffering right now, folks. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we probably know the verse, but 2 Peter chapter 3. Boy, I tell you what, this ought to stir our hearts and challenge us, folks. God is long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. Well, go back to, it speaks about Noah, the testimony of Noah, but come down to verse number 9. The Lord is, I hear those pages keep turning. I just want to read it. I'll wait. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. Look what it says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That's speaking about his coming again. Hey, Jesus is coming again. The Lord's coming again. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says the Lord is long-suffering. Why? Because God desires that all men should repent. Just a week ago, we had a lady up in Willimantic, and not this past Thursday, but Thursday before, after our Bible study, she went home and she got on the phone with her nephew. She got on the phone with her nephew and nephew's wife, and she shared with them the Bible study. She was so excited because they got saved on the phone. She says, Pastor, they prayed and they accepted the Lord, and they were in church on Sunday. I said, where were they in church? They live in Wisconsin. I said, come on, how come they don't live in Willimantic? But you know what? This lady says, you know what? I need to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. In fact, when you go back to Genesis chapter 7, in Genesis chapter 7, look at verse number 4. All right, for 120 years, God is long-suffering. And then in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 4, it says, for yet 7 days. You know what that's speaking about? God gave one final invitation. One final invitation. An invitation that lasted 7 days. We get impatient if we give an invitation that lasts more than 6 minutes. God was long-suffering for 120 years. And then he says, I'm going to wait 7 more days. 7 more days. Why? Because God is long-suffering, folks. God is long-suffering. And there's folks that are in need of Jesus Christ. The world is in need of Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs, is Jesus Christ. But not only is the Lord long-suffering, but when you speak about the ark, it's life-saving. The ark is life-saving. The gospel is life-saving. The gospel is life-saving. 1 John chapter 5. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything about it. I'm not going to take time to go into all the details of every little detail in there, but everything points to one thing, that there is only salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All those other people, they didn't get in the ark. All those other people perished. You know why? They weren't in the ark. The waters came, the floods came, covered the earth, and they all died except for Noah, his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives. 1 John chapter 5. Look what it says. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. And this is the record. This is God's record. That God hath given us to eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And you know what? Noah built an ark. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was not only building physically an ark, but he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching about the righteousness of God in Christ. Turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 14. Because you might, I trust and I hope that you're saved. And you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm saved. What do you mean I need to build an ark? We need to build an ark for the world. And I don't mean build a plan of salvation. I mean tell people that the ark is already built. And I don't mean down in the Creation Museum. I mean Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14, look what it says in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind.
And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know, sometimes we lose the urgency of God's command when it comes to the gospel. We can read in Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We can read in Mark chapter 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. But my Savior and my Lord and my God says, hey, get up and go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. You know why? Because time is running out. The long suffering of God is running out. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stand up. He's going to shut the door. And there'll be no more opportunity. Everybody outside of the ark, everybody outside of the gospel, everybody outside of Christ is going to perish. But today there's an opportunity. The gospel is still working, folks, and people are still hungering. The world is desperate in need of someone to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking with a man just the other day. What's today? Sunday? It's Friday. I was talking with a man. And man that I had led to the Lord a number of years ago. And he doesn't come to church because he's got his own difficulties. He calls me father, by the way. That's one of his difficulties. He knows I'm the pastor of a Baptist church, but he can't get out of that habit. He's French. French was Catholic, and so I don't argue with him. Because you know what? I got my own problems with English. But I saw him in the street and he immediately came up. And he says, pray for me. And then he says, I'm still reading the Bible. And I says, good. He says, but pray for my sister. She needs the Lord. She just came down with Parkinson's disease. Had a man Thursday night. Came walking into the Bible study Thursday night. He came walking in. He says, I need to be here. He says, I need to be here tonight. He sat down. I spent over half an hour with him after the service. He says, I got saved a number of years ago. A man led me to the Lord. He says, I was raised in a Christian home, but I got saved a number of years ago. And they got baptized. He says, but I've been walking with the Lord. I need the peace of God back in my life. I need the Lord back in my life. Folks, that's what the world needs right now. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, many years ago, there was a preacher down in Texas, and he was an evangelist. His name was Mordecai Ham. Imagine that. What a name. What a name. Hey, we're having ham for Thanksgiving. No, anyways. But his name was Mordecai Ham. What a preacher. But one night he was preaching, and he was actually preaching on the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge. And he was preaching about how the cities of refuge were preaching about the safety and security of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a safe place to be, is saved, amen? And as he was preaching, there was this man in the audience, a man that had killed four people. It was a murderer in the audience. This took place in Texas, by the way. You don't have to worry. Besides, it was years ago. But he had a murderer in the audience, killed four men. And he listened to Mordecai Ham explain that Christ is a refuge for sinners of any and every stripe, and that the cities of refuge in the Old Testament was a type of Christ, who is a haven of hope and eternal forgiveness for all who will flee him. And halfway through the service, imagine this, boy. Halfway through the service, the man jumps up out of his seat and shouts, saved, saved, saved. Because sitting there in his seat, through the preaching of the Word of God, he found Christ as his Savior. And you know, that's where we get that song that Donnie neglected to sing this morning because he knew it was going to be a month. No. 341.
Saved, saved, saved. It goes like this. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. What a wonderful hymn. We sang, there's a new name written down in glory, amen? Hey, aren't you glad today you're saved? Aren't you thrilled today that you're saved? Aren't you excited today that your sins have been washed in the blood and you've got the assurance of glory and there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to dread because our hope is in Jesus Christ? Amen. What about the world? Because as Noah built that ark, he preached righteousness. And as we build our families, we build our church, and we build our lives, the Lord wants us to be building with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just be friendly. Love people. Share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. You want a good line? You want a good opportunity? Take advantage of these masks you gotta wear. When I see someone else wearing a mask, first thing I ask him, are you smiling? Because I can't tell. And then I say this, I'm smiling because of Jesus Christ. How about that for a line? Right? You can't tell if someone's smiling. We won't go there, Kim, all right? You know what? Maybe we ought to just write on the front, I'm smiling because of Jesus. You know, but hey, listen, use it. If you got to wear it, at least use it for something good, right? But tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Noah, he was building a family. But he was also building an ark. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now listen, we just said something. We just said, glory, glory, I'm saved, I'm saved. My name's written down in glory. Let me ask a question. How are you thanking the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's the third thing that Noah built. An altar. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. You see, Noah not only built an apartment or a family, he not only built an ark, but after the waters had receded, after dry land had appeared, after that dove had come back with that olive branch. After the Lord said, go forth, and all that the Lord said, Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. An altar unto the Lord. Noah worshiped the Lord. Noah thanked God. Thanks is something you don't see or hear much in the world today, is it? Right? Stop and consider this. I wonder how much the Lord's listening and looking to see whether we're thankful. Noah was thankful. Noah built an altar to the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord. You remember those 10 lepers that the Lord healed? Remember the 10 lepers that the Lord healed? Man, you would think that if you had leprosy and the Lord healed it, you would think that you would be thankful. Only one returned. Only one of all those lepers, 1 out of 10, returned to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one, Jordan. 10 of them got healed. I mean, leprosy was the worst it could get. But only one returned. How are we thanking the Lord for our salvation? Oh, we speak about it, how rich it is, how free it is, how wonderful, how blessed we are to be saved. But how are we thanking the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we should be building an altar of thanksgiving unto the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Well, look what it says. He built an altar. What type of an altar? Look at verse number 20. He built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Burnt offering. It was an altar. It was a specific offering of thanks. It was a burnt offering. And you know what that means? Everything was consumed. You want to know how the best way to thank the Lord for your salvation is? By giving Him your entire life. Not just with your lips, but your life. Why do you think Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, "For to me to live is Christ"? Why do you think over and over again Paul says, "My life is all about Christ"? For to me to live is Christ. Because Paul knew that without Christ, there was nothing. And yet through Christ, he now had everything. Paul says, "I know whom I have believed." He says, "I received His mercy. I received His grace. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm saved." And Paul says, "For me now, this life that I now live, it's about one person, Christ." And Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." You ever stop and think that maybe the Lord's looking down and saying, "Oh, I just wish someone would thank me"? You thank Him with your life. You thank Him by saying, "Lord, today I'm going to live for You. Everything, Lord, everything. Lord, it's just all about You. Everything. For to me to live is Christ." I mean, we can say that. And we ought to say it. But does the Lord see it? Does the Lord see it in our life? Because you know what? That offering, not only was it a surrendered life, and that's what the Lord wants. I mean, we can go back to Romans chapter 11 about the mercies of God. The mercies of God. What does He say in Romans 12 and verse 1? "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Oh, if you know the mercies of God in your life, if you know that God, who is rich in mercy, hath quickened you together with Christ, then I beseech you, like Paul, present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is what? Pleasing in His sight. Because look at Genesis chapter 8 for a moment. Because not only was this burnt offering a surrender of life, but look at verse number 21. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. It was pleasing to the Lord. You know, my sinuses don't always work. A lot of times that's a blessing. But boy, I tell you, when they all of a sudden click in, when all of a sudden my sinuses open up, all of a sudden, boy, every smell, every fragrance is like 1,000 times magnified. I'll walk into the house and say, "Whoa, what is that?" And Allison say, "It's the same thing it's been for the last 30 days. And all of a sudden it just, bam, hits me. When you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, look what it says. The Lord smells a sweet savor. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ when He came onto this earth, when He started His public ministry, when He was baptized by John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and then God spoke from heaven? What did God say? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Is that your desire this morning? Is that our desire? Is that the longing of our heart that God would look down and said, "Yes, this is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." But how much more do we want the Lord to say, "Not only this is my beloved son, but in whom I am well pleased"? That ought to be our desire. that today the Lord looks down and says, you're my son. Not only are you my child, but I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. You see, Noah was a builder. He built three things. He built, what was that first one? No, family. Caught you. He built a family, a Christian family. Hey, let's build some families, amen? He built an ark. Let's go into the world with all the gospel. He built an altar to say thank you to the Lord. You know, if you were to go over to the book of Nehemiah, and you don't have to turn there, but by way of conclusion, Nehemiah looked around. God brought Nehemiah back to the city of Jerusalem. It was burned. It was a waste. Just like the world is today. And then God put upon Nehemiah's heart something to do. And you know what it was? To build. Not to give up. Not to lose hope. Not to lose sight. But to build. Nehemiah, he should have been nicknamed Noah. But Nehemiah went to the people and shared God's vision, shared the Lord's vision. You know what the people said? Let us arise up and build. Hey, listen. This, what we've heard today, is a vision for the church. This is the Lord's vision for us. This is the Lord's vision for us as His people. That we would build lives and build families for Christ. That we would preach the gospel with a fervency and an intensity. And that we'd be continually offering sacrifices of praise with our life and our lips, giving thanks unto our God. What are we going to do? I tell you what. Let's rise up and build. Amen? Let's just rise up and build. God said it, let's do it. I was getting a glass of water. Y'all caught that one good. Let's rise up and build, amen? Hey, God will do the work. God will do the work. He is doing the work. He is doing the work. And we need to just have that attitude. We just need to have that response. Lord, help us. But let's rise up and build. Listen, pray one for another. Pray for our young couples, would you please? Pray for our young parents. Pray for them as they raise their kids. Not because of this time, but because they're just raising kids. Hey, listen, you were a kid. Yeah, think about the difficulty your parents had, right? Look in the mirror and say, hey, we need to pray. Because if they're anything like me, whew, they're in for a road. But pray one for another. Pray that the gospel goes forth. Let's get out there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's give our lives to Lord Jesus Christ. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. I'm saved, saved, saved. By the way, that's what we're going to sing, okay? Saved, saved, saved. All right? Thank you. All right, let's pray.